BriggsAuto.com. Get in the game.
Here we go!
Hello and welcome to the game. I'm John Kurtz, joined by Tyler Dreiling and Mitch Fortner. Today on the show, I thought it was going to be a slow day. We're entering the slow time of the year for us, but we got a bomb dropped on us with a Dennis Dodd article that we tweeted at the game KMAN. If you want to read along with us, I'll give you some of the highlights here in a second, but if you want a good idea about it, go read it at the game KMAN on Twitter. It's about who's going to be the next head coach at K-State after Bill Snyder and the Sean Snyder dynamic that is at work with Gene Taylor, now the athletic director. We're going to cover that plenty today, 410 and 510. You will hear plenty about that. I've got a Royals take at 430. I mean, it's not anything great. The Royals are just incredibly depressing right now. The numbers behind all of that at 440, a wacky and stormy-esque hot take that I tested out on Tyler last night, and I just felt good enough about it today. Plus, I thought today was going to be a goofy day. So I'm gonna bring that out. I think just about everybody will disagree with me, but I have a good point, I promise you. And you can't be serious. It's at 5:25 today. We're only with you until 5:30 because we got to get the Royals in. Got to get the Royals and their one-hit offense on the air tonight. So don't worry. Don't lose any sleep. You will be able to hear all one of the Royals' hits on the airwaves tonight, I promise you.
You tested it out on me?
Yeah, remember last night we were sitting there.
Yes. I just didn't know that that's what
softball.
I didn't know that I was undergoing a test for something that we would actually talk about on the show.
Well, I had been thinking it in my head. I had just never thrown it out into the world before, and I thought I nailed it, if I do say so myself.
Oh,
so,
it's dumb. It's dumb. It'll work.
Okay, well, I disagree, sir. We'll find out at 440.
First thing I want to know is how softball went last night.
Not well.
I pitched.
Not well.
Really? I pitched, yeah.
Tyler did get squeezed by the umpire. I'll give him that. But things did not go well. Brady missed a fly ball. Let a ground ball get past me in the outfield. I had a dart that I threw from center field to home, and it got dropped by the catcher. I mean, like, I'm talking Alex Gordon.
Perfect
right,
throw.
Right on a line, not even bouncing on the fly to home.
Not to pile on.
And we lost by 10.
Not to pile on Brady, but he also struck out looking with the bases loaded in a slow-pitch softball game, which is never
okay.
A great thing.
You know what? I'm glad you brought this up. And I know that we're going to get to the Sean Snyder stuff. People, I'm sure, want to hear our thoughts and opinions about this, and that is important. But this brings me to something I talked about with Brady over the weekend. And, Mitch, you're an important aspect of this, okay? So what we have right now going on the show, especially in light of recent events with Gavin Schefter coming on here, the character that Brady, if you're unfamiliar, the Cover 5 Brady, does the Gavin Schefter character making fun of Adam Schefter, and we sprung it on you as a surprise, which you hate because you hate anything that Brady tries to do on the air because he's won a KAB award, and none of us have for our work on this show. So there's a little jealousy there, and I feel like we have a rivalry developing before our eyes, and I feel like it's very wrestling-esque, the rivalry that we have developing between Brady and his many hats and characters and Tyler. So I want to cultivate that. I think we need to we've done some of that, but I think we need to continue to cultivate this rivalry. So you know all about cutting promos, whatever it is that you call all the, you know, whatever you do. Heels and all that jazz. So how do we cultivate this rivalry wrestling style between Tyler and Brady?
Well, it needs to continue throughout the games. Maybe a little bit of an outburst at a game, you know, cause a scene. That'll get people's attention.
You mean like at a game or on the game?
At a softball game.
At a softball game.
Yeah.
Okay, well, but I'm trying on air. Like, I want to cultivate it on air. I don't care if they can be friends off the air. It can be all fine. This is all show. This is for show. We need to entertain the people, you know? I'm sure not all those wrestling feuds are real once they leave the ring. I'm trying to cultivate an on-air feud here, on-air rivalry. Need people taking sides.
Well, you need the Cover 5 to do that.
Okay, well, can you think of some ideas? Can you let that rattle around in your brain?
You're making me book a storyline on the air?
Well, you don't have to do it right now, but just let's think about that.
Okay.
Like
put a bookmark in this. We'll visit it later.
Yeah, it's like a show meeting on air here.
Fair enough.
It jogged my memory. I was going to talk to you about it off air, but I forgot, and I felt like this was the perfect opportunity to spring that. I think it would be good for the show. Good for the show. People can tune in to root for somebody in Tyler v. Brady. It would be good for the show.
Works for me.
All right. From the trivial to the utmost importance of the future of K-State football. We got a bomb dropped on us, really, with this Dennis Dodd article. I'll admit, my first reaction to seeing this was rolling my eyes, like, oh boy, okay, we're gonna kick this conversation into high gear, I suppose. I would not say there's a ton of new information to me in this article. I'm not the most informed guy out there necessarily about what's going on with this situation and how people feel within the walls of Vanier, but I would consider myself somewhat educated in it. And I think most of what is spelled out here is just a somewhat over-dramatized version of what is fairly common knowledge. But let me start by just reading some of the highlights here and the most important parts of this. The title of the article just starts the over-dramatization, if that's a word, right?
Yep.
Over-dramatization. Right off the bat, because the title of this is called "A Battle Rages at Kansas State Over Whether Bill Snyder's Son Will Be His Successor." So phrasing it as a battle and framing it that way right off the bat, that sets a tone for the whole article. Now, the first part of the article is just outlining the situation here, right? Bill Snyder's the only guy that's won here. He's been pushing for Sean to be the head coach. We know about that. I'm going to pick it up here, middle of the article. This is from Dennis Dodd's article. He says, "The Curry-Snyder battles are now legend. According to several sources, it's no secret Curry was dead set against Sean succeeding his father. Lines have been drawn within Kansas State ranks. Some stand in support of the Sean plan, others against it." And I'd forgotten about this. A recruit caused a major stir last fall when he tweeted how he was looking forward to playing for future K-State coach at Sean Snyder. All right, so that's outlining some of what he is spelling out as the two sides of this within the walls of Vanier and in the athletic department. Here is a little tidbit on Laird Veach not getting the athletic director position. To quote Dennis Dodd again, sources say part of the reason he didn't is that even Veach, a member of Snyder's first recruiting class, didn't support the Sean succession plan. That had been out there as a rumor as to something that did not help his candidacy. I don't believe personally that that was the final straw or the reason that it didn't happen. To get back to the article, quote, "Now that Curry is gone, Bill has got the guy he wants there," said longtime friend and former K-State defensive coordinator Phil Bennett. "He's got the new president. Sean will be the head coach. I think it's in order." That's from Phil Bennett, a guy that we know does still communicate with Bill Snyder, seemingly on a fairly regular basis. Continue here in the article. "There is a battle inside the walls of the K-State administrative and football offices that has raged for years, according to several sources. More than one person familiar with the situation termed the climate inside those walls as toxic." Now, that last part is specifically where I think this is trying too hard to make it more of a story.
Over-embellished a little bit.
Right. I do think that there is somewhat of a line drawn, and there are those in staunch favor on the staff, in the building, in the athletic department of Sean being the next head coach, and I think there are those that feel fairly strongly the other way. I would not classify it, just based on what I know, as toxic. I think toxic is overblown there. But make no mistake, I mean, this is going to continue to be a conversation, and more so than it was for a while, because when John Curry was the athletic director, the line in there points out, like, sources say John Curry was against Sean being the next head coach. We all knew that. I mean, if Bill Snyder is not getting along with John Curry, and that was about the least kept secret here in town, let's ask ourselves what the relationship would have been like then with Sean and John Curry. I think everybody can figure that out. So what happened was merely bringing in anybody as a new athletic director here, that opens the door up. That means Sean Snyder became, the day that John Curry left, Sean Snyder became a much more likely and viable candidate for this head coaching job. Just because it's somebody else, it opens a new book, new chapter. You start over, wipe the slate clean, everything's fresh with a new person here. In this case, it is Gene Taylor. So that's probably the biggest thing that I would take from this is just, it's merely pointing out that the dynamics are going to be different, and we have to figure out what the relationship is going to be like between Gene Taylor and Sean and Bill and how this is all going to go moving forward. Because we knew, set in stone, what the dynamic was between those guys and their old boss. What's it going to be like between them and the new boss?
And it's going to be difficult to work through this whole situation because it's not like there are a lot of people in Manhattan or a lot of people in the athletic department that have not yet taken a side. I think that, and we'll talk about this a little bit more in the second hour, but there are people who like Sean and have liked Sean for a long time and like him for this position for a number of different reasons. And there are people who do not for a number of different reasons, and there's just not a lot of give there, not a lot of open-mindedness toward giving him a chance if you're saying that he shouldn't get one, or giving someone else a chance if you're saying he should get one. So that's it's not a secret that Gene Taylor, that's his toughest task that he's going to have while he's at K-State. I don't care if he's here for 5 years or 15 years. His toughest job is going to be this decision. The positive from it is that I do think that K-State has very many solid options for what they can do, because you do have Brent Venables, who could be interested in the position. You do have Jim Leavitt, who could be interested in the position. If they aren't, Sean would certainly, it would appear, be willing to do it. And even if you do hire someone else, I think that Sean would probably want to stay around the program anyway. I'm not necessarily convinced that you would lose him just because you hire Jim Leavitt, say. So a lot of different ways to go, but the most difficult part of this is that everyone seems to already be entrenched in their side.
Well, I would agree with that, that there are, the fan opinion, typically you're going to find it pretty unpopular, I think, for Sean Snyder, and I think there are reasons for that. I do think some of it is misguided, and I want to explain that at 5:10. I think there are reasons behind people reacting so negatively in a knee-jerk way whenever Sean Snyder as the next head coach gets brought up. People do seemingly have their position pretty staked out, but I don't think that is going to be the case with Gene Taylor right now. Like, my fear when I see these articles and an article like this come out today is that, especially the tone of it, the way it's written, using words like toxic, a battle rages, people are going to come out, again, with those knee-jerk reactions right away, right now, very vehemently argue their side, and expect that Gene Taylor should have an opinion formulated already one way or the other on this thing. And I think this is a very dynamic, fluid situation. We don't know what their relationship is like. He's only been on the job for, it was supposed to be the beginning of the month, right, that he starts. So we're at day 8 of him being on the job officially here at K-State. Pump the brakes. We're going to have to figure out how this thing works moving down the road. And I think Gene Taylor is smart enough to realize that. I don't think he is going to formulate any rash judgments. He said he wanted to take like the first 40 days on the job just to get to know everybody and get to know all the dynamics at play. And that process is still happening. And that's why I cringe that this comes out with the timing of it right now. Because, one, there's a great football team sitting here in Manhattan that's going to be coached by Bill Snyder in 2017. So we're a ways off from the real nuts and bolts of this conversation, even if this is going to be the last year. And I just don't want this to, much as everything does these days to us in society, start dividing people even more. Seeing articles like this making it more divisive already. Because I think there is room for compromise. I think there's room to approach everything with an open mind. People ask me all the time, and have for years, what do I think should happen as the next football coach at K-State? I've never been a guy to really hitch my wagon to one thing, one person, or one scenario. Bill Snyder was not the first choice when he was hired here. It was far from it. I mean, they had to go really far. So my point with that is, we don't really know what is going to work here necessarily. I approach it with an open mind. So while my first reaction is not to say, hey, I think Sean Snyder should definitively be the next head coach, I'm not totally shutting the door on that either. I approach this thing with an open mind, and Gene Taylor, part of the reason I like the hire, is because he had a track record of hiring different guys different ways. Sometimes it was promoting within, sometimes it was going completely out of left field and grabbing Craig Bull, and they've all been successful. So I think he has the attitude that I would take into the coaching search for whoever it is going to be next. But we're going to talk a lot more about this throughout the show at 5:10 in particular. I will point out one thing that I think has hurt Sean Snyder just in the eyes of the fans, and why the opinion is so negative as far as he is concerned for the next head coach. And at 4:40, I do think there is a big reason as well that you started to hit on there of why I do have a hard time wrapping my mind totally around Sean Snyder being the head coach. And it's not really a bad thing for Sean. But coming up next, get yourself ready for a fire sale, I think, if you're a Royals fan. You're listening to The Game.